It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D Bro, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man? How did Sunday treat you?
It was pretty good for the most part. You know, there was obviously some tilt. Like, the first 25 to 30 minutes of Sunday was so frustrating. There were so many touchdowns that were just like, why are you scoring touchdowns? That doesn't help anybody. Like, it was, there was Cole, like, I wrote it down. There was like 15 tight end touchdowns that were just like, what the hell? And then things started to pick up in the second half of the 1 o'clock games. And on DFS, I cashed, so happy about that. And now I'm hoping the Bills can not play like they did last Tuesday night here against Patrick Mahomes, because listen, I'm a Cavs fan in basketball, and like, I watched them play against the Warriors in the finals for so many years, and it was like every time the Warriors had the ball, I was terrified and expecting them to score a bucket on every possession. That's how I feel with the Bills tonight. Like, when they're on defense, like, they will not get an incompletion or a loss of downs or anything against the Chiefs tonight. I'm that terrified.
Well, you don't have to worry about so much about some of that. Like, are they going to score every single time?
I just hope Josh Allen and Mahomes just go back and forth slinging it. That would be very fun.
It's going to be a good game, man. So, all right, before we get rolling, definitely want to remind people. So we just gave away our beautiful signed helmet for Kenny Golladay. That's going out to the lucky, lucky winner of that contest. We are going to be doing more of these giveaways moving forward. So still, keep rating and reviewing the podcast. We're not forgetting about these. Keep DMing them to the Twitter handle, at ChalkFade, because we are going to announce, we're going to be doing some more giveaways as the season rolls along. So Adam, before we get into our top waiver wire ads, before Week 7 action kicks off, we got to hit a few news items here, dude. First of all, in Week 7, for people preparing for waivers, what have you, starting lineup holes, we got to mention here for the bye weeks, the Colts, the Vikings, Baltimore, and the Dolphins are all on a bye this week. So some pretty prominent names. I mean, we're not talking about the dust that is T.Y. Hilton, but, you know, you're going to be missing your Vikings receivers. So whether that's Thielen, Jefferson.
Hold on. You need to readdress that. You'll be missing the number one receiver in fantasy football, Adam Thielen.
Hey-hoo! You're right, dude. The dude is a stud.
And by the way, Justin Jefferson's pretty sick, too.
He's a baller, man, in his own right. Just, I mean, he's stacking like three out of the last 4 weeks. He has been absolutely amazing. But just to mention the bye weeks, also hitting on some news items, and we're going to kind of touch on this a little bit more as we get to waiver wire ads. Miles Sanders, it's being reported, with a random knee injury, not too much specifics behind it. 1 to 2 weeks, it's looking like he's going to mention, as well as, I mean, dude, just the hits keep coming for the Eagles on a weekly basis. I mean, they're basically the Philadelphia Chargers in terms of their injury woes. Zach Ertz is going to look like he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. So let's dive into it, Adam. I mean, that's going to kick this off here. I'm going to mention Richard Rodgers as a must-add, because if Ertz is going to be missing for a month, I know Dallas Goedert is knocking on the door coming back from a fractured ankle. But, I mean, Richard Rodgers is going to assume a pretty prominent role just based off of not only the wide receiver issues, but you're talking about now Miles Sanders is out, all of the other receiving options, and just Philadelphia as a whole. We know that part of this offense, and a very prominent part of it, runs through the tight end position. Richard Rodgers is going to have a receiving role in this offense. And the next 4 weeks, the matchups, I mean, he's got the Giants, who are not great, but they have, like, quietly ceded some production to the tight end position. With their corners playing better, Bradberry is shutting down number one wide receivers. So whether he's going to shut down DeSean Jackson or Fulgham, whichever way you want to look at that, it's going to open up some other targets in the passing game for options like Richard Rodgers, as well as over the next 4 weeks, they play the Giants, like I said, twice. They also get the Cowboys, who are allowing the 7th most fantasy points per game to tight ends. They're 24th in DVOA. They run a lot of zone defense, so you know you can exploit that over the middle with the tight end position. As well as they get the Cleveland Browns, man. 7th most receptions and 7th most touchdowns to the tight end position. So some decent matchups, man. And for a guy that a lot of people might, you know, pinch their nose about, he's going to garner a really prominent role in this offense. And regardless of whether Goddard is back, we've seen two tight ends in this offense be viable, much less if Goddard's eased into a role, he could be the number one tight end in this offense moving forward. But what are your thoughts? I knew you were about to bring up Boston Scott here. Tell me your thoughts on Philadelphia here, and what do you see for these two guys?
Yeah, so I mean, the Eagles are still running 12 personnel about 47% of the time. It's easily the highest rate in the NFL. And yeah, Dallas Goedert is eligible to return off IR in week 7, but they also play on Thursday night against the Giants. So that, like, there is a better than not chance that the Eagles are without, you know, Ertz and Goddard, which would mean like Richard Rodgers by default would have to play a lot. Doug Peterson came out and said he is optimistic that DeSean Jackson and Alshon return on Thursday night, but still, like, I'm not expecting those guys to just come in and see, you know, 15 targets, especially because they haven't played in so long, especially Alshon. So, yeah, like, tight end's bad. You know, it's a bye week. You have to replace Mark Andrews. And the Colts tight ends, like, Trey Burton's become a thing. He's not going to be available now. And a lot of people are probably relying on Mike Gesicki to score more than 0 points, but he won't be available this week. So, yeah, like, Richard Rodgers, and obviously Boston Scott's the main guy here. Sanders does seem to be, you know, a minor injury where he only missed maybe this game and maybe the following week, but we saw Boston Scott be, you know, a top 15 fantasy running back down the stretch last season when Miles Sanders was out. And what's really the same offense, because it's the same quarterback with Carson Wentz, it's the same coaching staff, and it's the same depleted pass catchers. So Boston Scott should get at minimum 15 touches in this game. And we've seen the Giants not be all that efficient at defending pass catching running backs. So Boston Scott would probably be, you know, a top 24 play pretty easily, assuming Miles Sanders gets ruled out. And you're not picking him up, obviously, but I will say, just keep watching this Eagles team. They're using Jalen Hurts more and more, and I saw a report that they're going to continue to do that now. So that's going to be a really interesting kind of wrinkle in this offense.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and like, I mean, obviously he needs to be on your radar if you're like in super deep, like super flex leagues, because if the injury bug keeps rolling through the entire Eagles roster and anything happens to Wentz, dude, Hurts could be, oh my gosh, he could be awesome on a weekly basis. Like, what do you think Jalen Hurts could do in this offense if he was the starter?
Well, here's the thing, like, I talked about it on the recap podcast on Sunday night, like, Carson Wentz deserves a ton of credit with how he's playing. Like, you know, he's throwing to Travis Fulgham and Greg Ward and John Hightower against the Baltimore Ravens and producing. And Carson Wentz, you look at his rushing numbers, he's running a ton this year. And that's not all, like, based off him not having anybody open and scrambling. Like, they're getting him out in space and letting him run. And they're going to do the same thing if Jalen Hurts is ever under center in this offense. So I kind of wanted to give Carson Wentz a little bit of love because, like, people are just, you know, throwing a bunch of shade at the Eagles because they've been bad this year. But it's like, the guy's done all he can with the situation. Not to mention Lane Johnson's been hurt. They obviously lost Brandon Brooks, Jason Pete. Like, it's been brutal. And Carson Wentz has been playing his ass off. But, you know, like I said, he's been running as much as he ever has. And it's helped him be, you know, if he wasn't running like he was, he'd be even worse in fantasy. So Jalen Hurts, obviously, you know, one of the best running quarterbacks to come out of college in a while. So that would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, and so moving on, man, getting into I'm going to stay a little bit on the tight end position here. Anthony Firkser is somebody I think people, especially in deep leagues, need to keep their eye on, or if you're playing any kind of tight end premium stuff. Is this possibly like a 12-team pickup? No, but I mean, we wanted to discuss and bring up other players, especially for people.
I think it is.
I mean, look, he could be. The only reason I say that possibly a more deeper league is because Jonnu Smith is out with an ankle sprain. They're talking about it's minor. Maybe he only misses a game. The matchups are not great over the next 2 weeks. I mean, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati are 3rd and 4th in DVOA versus the tight end position. I will say this, that we've seen enough out of this Titans offense to know that based off of how they're running the offense off of play action sets, Ferksker will have a role in this offense if he is the starter at tight end. I mean, you're looking at it, he probably is going to garner somewhere between a 15-17% target share percentage behind A.J. Brown and the other options that they have, like Humphreys and stuff, is not always a thing week to week. So despite the bad matchups, he's the guy who went out and smashed a really, really good matchup this past week, which I knew banged up. Tannehill has shown that when he's in the red zone, he's willing to, one, utilize the tight end position, and he's willing to go Ferksker's way. So I think that he's viable. I'm mentioning just based off of matchups and this short shelf life of this pickup that I think it's more of a deep league ad for me.
Yeah, it's fair. Adam Schefter came out and reported that Jonnu Smith is, you know, dealing with that high ankle sprain. He is questionable already for their game. But tight end has been so bad. And, like, Ertz was already bad, and now you're not going to have him at all. I mentioned that you have to replace Mark Andrews. And like you said, that's the thing with this Titans offense. If you're running the ball as well as they have been with Derrick Henry, and then that sets up play action. I mean, Tannehill currently right now is fifth in the NFL with 53 attempts off play action. Like, that's not going to change. That's really their bread and butter. And a lot of times you see the tight ends benefit, especially, I don't know how many times per week we see at the goal line, a team runs play action and tight ends wide open for a touchdown. Like, that is going to be really possible for Ferkser as long as Jonnu Smith's out. They're not going to use him the same way because they would use Jonnu Smith in the backfield. And I saw they ran him on an angle route out of the backfield on Sunday, and they give him screens and everything because he's just an absolute beast. But Ferkser is going to be an every down player in an offense that utilizes play action, utilizes the tight end.
Yep. So staying on the tight end position, you got into the outline before I did, so you're going to discuss him here, but I'm going to add some love on top, man. Who are you about to talk about here, Adam? Who is the guy?
It's hashtag let Irv swerve.
Yes, baby! Yes! Let Irv swerve! Oh, my gosh! All right, talk about Irv Smith for me, Adam.
Yeah, so we were excited last Sunday night when with the uptick in usage for Irv. They ran 12 personnel around 34% of the time against Seattle, the highest rate they ran it this season. And Irv was at around like 73%. He ran around on 73% of the dropbacks. That went up to right around 80% on Sunday. He played in the slot. He lined up in the slot 10 times, the highest, the most he's ran out of the slot this season. He outsnapped Kyle Rudolph. And they're continuing to run him. I even saw him a lot more in one tight end sets. So they schemed up a play for him inside the 5-yard line. He couldn't hang on to it and fall into the end zone. But yeah, man, like, I know they're on a bye this week, but if their defense continues to play as badly as it has been, they'll have to throw 35 times like they did yesterday. And if Irv's running a route on like 80% of the dropbacks, given how explosive he is, he had like a 36-yard catch and run down the sideline, like, he's the man. And with Justin Jefferson being awesome and Adam Thielen being awesome, like, that's great, but they still need something else in their passing game. And Irv Smith just, you know, Kyle Rudolph is, I think we're going to see Kyle Rudolph gets to a point, and it might have already happened, to where he's being used to block, to run block, and then inside the 5-yard line on some downs. Like, Irv Smith is clearly the future.
He's so damn good. Like, legit. Like, when they target him, he catches the ball. He makes plays after the catch. Like, he is, we talk about players demanding more targets based off of their early opportunities and what they're doing with the volume that they've been given. Besides, you're talking about with the touchdown, what in the hell has Irv Smith done to say that he does not demand more targets, more playing time, Adam? Like, what else has he got to show you?
Yeah, it's just, at the end of the day, like, it'd be different if it was, you know, a journeyman tight end playing ahead of him that's been on six teams and just has been, you know, like, nothing special. But, you know, Kyle Rudolph's been with his team forever. He's one of the, honestly, Kyle Rudolph's probably up there in terms of, like, one of the more beloved Vikings of all time. He's just, they love him there. He's an elite run blocker, and this is still a team that wants to run the ball 25 times a game. So it's like, if it were someone different ahead of him, it would be, I wouldn't even think it would be a discussion. Irv Smith would be like an every down player. But again, we've seen now 2 weeks in a row where he is running more routes, and he out-snapped Kyle Rudolph yesterday. Now, they were also, you know, Madison only ran the ball 10 times because they got behind so early, but, I mean, their defense isn't good. We've talked about it. So, yeah, like, Irv Smith, a lot of people probably drafted him, like, if they tried to pair two tight ends a stream at the end of the draft and then just kind of dropped him after the first couple weeks, but if he's out there and considering, you know, unless you have Kelce, Andrews, Kittle, Darren Waller, or Jonnu when Jonnu's healthy, you probably need an upgraded tight end.
My whole thing with this is we've seen it, injuries are piling up every single week. Like between it's Ertz and other players and Dak previous weeks. Like all of these top tight ends, and I'm not sitting here like forecasting or hoping for injuries, okay? But if we do see that, or hell, if anything happened to Kyle Rudolph, Irv Smith would explode, Adam. So I think especially in teams where you have like you have the bench space or you're in a deeper league and he happens to be out there, he is a guy that you need to go pick up because if you're looking at the next 7 weeks, okay, even more like we're talking about long-term ad, if something happens, if you have the space, when they come back, they play the Packers, who just made Gronk actually look like he could run again. They play the Lions. They play the Bears. Then you get like this nice little, wonderful little spot of tight end matchups. They get the Cowboys who can't cover a tight end to save their damn lives. They get the Panthers who have been, their corners have been playing a little better. Run defense is a little bit better. So it's another avenue for the Vikings to use to attack. Jacksonville can't stop tight ends at all. Like that is, if you're looking at like the turnstile matchup that like, it's like, okay, what person with a heartbeat do I start versus for tight end this week? If there's said person with a heartbeat and they go against Jacksonville, they're probably going to score a touchdown if they're a tight end. And then you get the Buccaneers, who we've talked about this. You don't attack their corners. Aaron Rodgers just found that out. You go against them with the tight end position. So you're looking at the next 7 weeks. I just rattled off 4+ matchups in that next 7 weeks. Plus the ceiling, if anything happened to Rudolph, or if you have one of these top tight end guys, and you're looking at how do I insulate this? If something goes wrong at my tight end position, who is a guy that I could pick up at this point of the season who's possibly out there and has that type of ceiling in his range of outcomes? Dude, it's Irv Smith for me.
Yeah, he's the man. And just, you know, hashtag let Irv swerve.
Always, man. We're going to speak that into existence. It's going to be a thing, man. Speaking of things that okay, I got to get a tilt out of this.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
In the week where Jamichael Hasty gets the most run he's gotten ever in his career, okay? And he's getting carries. And all of Twitter is rejoicing in Jamichael Hasty. I lose power. I lose electricity. I don't have the ability to watch my dude just balling out with the carries that he's being given. And I got to go back to the film. I had no internet, no electricity through the end part of that game. And now I got to go back and watch it. But we're going to bring it up here, Adam. Jamichael Hasty is a baller, okay? He got more run down the stretch than even Jerick McKinnon in that game. Shanahan came out, talked about after the game about how he was impressed with what he did. You're looking at the second half running back snap count, okay? Jamichael Hasty, 15. Jerick McKinnon, 13. And this is after Mostert went out with one snap after the injury. Dude, Jamichael Hasty is hashtag amazing. He is a really, really damn good running back. The fact that he went undrafted was an egregious error. And if he gets the opportunity, he's going to show the entire NFL why. His lateral agility is off the damn charts. He is, if you were to airdrop a running back into this Shanahan system that has the ability to run zone, the ability to cut back against the grain and explode down the field, Jamichael Hasty is a guy you got to pick up and stash. Especially if Mostert's out. if he's going to get the run as the one over Jarrett McKinnon, because as much as we talked about McKinnon, I like him, man. But the thing about it is that if you watch McKinnon for 2 seconds, he doesn't have that same burst that he once had. He doesn't look like he's shot out of a cannon anymore. And Jamichael Hasty does. He's got the ability to sit here and work in the passing game. He logged multiple seasons of high snaps or high receptions at Baylor in college. So if you're looking at this guy, I know the matchups, and if people want to look at the schedule moving forward, New England, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, three of those next four are bad matchups. They're horrible. I'm not going to deny that. But if we're talking about betting on good players, betting on system, betting on a team that lives and dies off of running the damn football, because that's what we saw last night, Adam. Like, they lived off of play action. They lived off of screen passes. Like, that is how Jimmy G ate the Rams up and off of their run game.
Jimmy G literally, you know how Jimmy G ate the Rams up? He threw it to Kittle and Debo and let them do all the work. But that's their offense. Like, that's legitimately their
that
offense.
That is. It's their offense, dude. And I know the matchups are not great.
Yeah, but who
cares?
We're
looking at a player that I've been hyping all the way through Dynasty and offseason. And if he gets the freaking chance, man, like if Mostert is out for a little while. Hell, even if he's not, Hasty can get part of this backfield. He is that legit freaking good. I know that people are going to talk about you're just leaning into loveless players. Like, you're probably going to want to turn off the podcast right now because we're talking about Irv Smith and we're going to talk about Jamichael Hasty. I'm sorry, but you won't hear me apologize on this podcast about liking players that are talented. That's not going to happen, man.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though, right? Like, we're talking about players that we loved in the offseason, but the situation, circumstances have changed. Like, it would be different if we were talking up Irv Smith this whole, every single week, like, pick him up, but he's not, the trends aren't going his way. But we've seen him clearly 2 weeks in a row now trending upward. Now, Jamichael Hasty, Raheem Mostert suffers the ankle injury, doesn't return. He's been hurt all year for the most part. Tevin Coleman's still on IR. And the fact that they went to Jamichael Hasty, what they activated them that before the game, like that day. And down the stretch in the fourth quarter, that's when he got a lot of his carries, you know, holding on to a lead. They went with Jamichael Hasty instead of the veteran Jerick McKinnon. And Jamichael Hasty was picking up solid chunks. He got a first down on the beginning of their last drive of the game before Debo ended it on the final third down of the game. And he looked good. Like you said, like, his jump cuts were absolutely disgusting. So, yeah, like, the matchup, I don't care about matchups if I'm looking for running backs that have a path to 15 carries, especially at week seven at this point of the season. Like, receivers, whatever, that's fine, because there's so many receivers. Like, you want to play the guys with the better matchups, you know, a la Preston Williams from this week and Christian Kirk tonight and stuff like that. But it's like, running back, like, I don't care if you're playing the Steelers. Like, I care, but, like, if I need a running back that's going to get potentially 12 to 15 touches, I'm going to pick that person up.
Here's the thing, dude. Jamichael Hasty has the talent. He has the scheme behind him to fit this. Jamichael Hasty, it's in his range of outcomes, Adam, to possibly be, for people, what Raheem Mostert was last year. And I don't think that that is a crazy or hyperbolic statement at all. He can be that guy that you pick up off the waiver wire, and in week 16, you're saying, dear God in heaven, why was this guy not starting for the entire damn year?
Yeah, I could easily see that. It really is telling that they went to him instead of Jerick McKinnon last night.
All right, so before we get in our next waiver wire target, while you're setting all of your sneaky $1 fab bids in your leagues, you're just rubbing your hands together. We got to mention another place where you can start stockpiling fantasy football goodness for as little as a dollar at pristineauction.com. You can start bidding on thousands of items for as little as, yes, a dollar. They have daily auctions for signed helmets, jerseys, footballs, etc. Over 8,000 items in their auctions at all times. And the things that you are going to find out there have the best authenticity in the game. So you need to head over to pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com today and use promo code FTN for $10 off your first invoice and let them know before you hit that boop, hit that purchase button that we sent you. All right, Adam, who's the next waiver wire target?
Let's talk about J.D. McKissic, who very quietly now over the last 3 weeks has been really, really productive as a pass catcher in this offense in Washington. So over the last 3 weeks, J.D. McKissic is third among all running backs with 22 receptions, second among running backs in receiving yards with 166. Kyle Allen, you know, he started week five, you know, attempted 13 passes, then got hurt. Alex Smith came in. But since Kyle Allen's been the starting quarterback for this team, he's targeting running backs around 34% of the time. A lot of his passes are behind the line of scrimmage. And McKissic, you look at the routes run in the NFL among running backs right now, he is literally fifth in the NFL in routes run among running backs. Like, he's had at least six catches in each of the last three games. He was the guy, you know, when they were playing in the hurry up down the stretch last game over Antonio Gibson. And we know Washington's a team that's not going to win many games this season, and they're going to be playing from behind a lot. And if that's the case, McKissic seems to be the guy that's going to catch the passes over Antonio Gibson. I know they're both going to catch passes with Kyle Allen under center and with only Terry McLaurin at receiver. But yeah, J.D. McKissic is legitimately a PPR flex going forward, and he seems to have a really solid floor in terms of pass-catching ability right now.
I definitely think that he's flex viable, especially if you're looking at, like, if he could get into the end zone, then he's probably going to fall into, like, what he could possibly be with the workload he's getting. I mean, Adam, he's the less sexy James White right now. Mm-hmm. Is that wrong? Like, he's flex viable. If he scores a touchdown somehow, then he's probably going to end up as a top 24 running back that week.
Yeah, I think it's, and like Kyle Allen's averaging like under six intended air yards per attempt. It's the lowest rate in the NFL. Like, he's not throwing down the field. He never has during his time with Carolina. And like, I know, you know, Christian McCaffrey is the premier receiving back in the NFL. It's either, you know, him or Alvin Kamara. But, and they're not going to use, you know, one of these guys, McKissic or Gibson, like they used McCaffrey, although the Gibson-McCaffrey comps in the offseason were kind of interesting. But together, like, their combined pass-catching usage is probably the same as what McCaffrey was getting with the Panthers last year. Like, they're targeting these guys combined, like, 12, 13 times a game. And, you know, McKissic's consistently getting six or seven of those targets.
Yeah, I don't hate that call at all. So we're going to move on to another call that I'm actually going to tell you. Like, I'm bringing this guy up because I know people are going to see the quotes and they're going to hear about him and they're going to say, I might talk myself into blowing some fab on this guy. And I'm not telling you a firm no, but I will say I would not be busting the budget. Hell, I wouldn't be spending more than 5% of your fab that you even have left, and that's LaMichael Perine. And I could throw out all of these different stats like I have written down for him versus Frank Gore, and then the quotes of Adam Gase about using him more, and does he have pass-catching ability, and blah, 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 blah. The fact of it is that regardless of whatever you reference on Perine, this Jets offense is historically bad. Like, they have a problem even scoring any touchdowns.
There was a point yesterday where they were combined 0 for 19 on third down, the Jets and Dolphins. I mean, Joe Flacco took a 28-yard sack. It's so bad.
It's so terrible. And people want to point to, like, well, yes. I mean, but he's going to, you know, have a role. And could he get 15 carries? Like, you're talking about, like, what we're talking about with McKissic and stuff, or even Hasty previously. There's a difference. Those are what pass for decent NFL offenses. Hell, even the caliber of being an NFL offense. The Jets are not that. Like, it's Jamison Crowder or it's nobody. Nobody. I don't want LaMichael Perine in his 12 to 15 touches and his 40 or 50 yards combined. Hell, if he gets 70 yards and zero touchdowns, stinking up my roster and my starting lineup. Like, the Jets are not run blocking worth a damn, Adam. They're 19th in adjusted line yards, 31st, 32nd, and 2nd in open field yards. So you're talking about a running back behind literally a bottom three offensive line that doesn't have plus agility or athleticism. Like, legit, this dude, if you go and you look at his athletic measurables, they ain't pretty, man. He caught a bunch of dump downs at Florida, was not great with that work that he was given. I understand if you have him on your dynasty squad and you're like, "Wee! I get to actually put him in my flex position." Dynasty and redrafts, two different things, baby. I don't want any part of LaMichael Perine in redraft. I can't touch him, dude, and I'm not going to sit here and bust any amount of fab because I promise you, whatever he's going to go for in your league and Fab is going to be more than I'm probably willing to sit here and spend on him.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I'll add Justin Jackson from the Chargers should probably be picked up. Eckler said he'll probably return in 3 weeks or so, but he was put on IR, which is three games, not 3 weeks. So he still is definitely missing two more games. I know they had their bye last week, but that doesn't count towards the IR. He has to miss three games when he's on the injured reserve. So he's out this week and then in the following week for sure. Justin Jackson was the 1A in that backfield. He's still rostered in under 50% of Yahoo leagues. They definitely schemed better plays for him, but he looked to be the better pass catcher, and he looked pretty good. So they have Jacksonville this week, and we saw the Lions do whatever they wanted with their running backs against Jacksonville. So there's a path for both Kelly and Jackson to be good this week. So definitely make sure he is not out there on waiver wires, because he should not be. But yeah, like, you know, you're not getting excited about LaMichael Perine. Like, maybe this is a week where you just say, all right, everybody's going to go for, like, Boston Scott and some of these other guys. Throw in a dollar bid, and if you get them, sure, we'll see what happens. Because the Jets are 0-6. I don't know why they keep giving Frank Gore 20 touches a game, although I love Frank Gore. It just doesn't make sense. So LaMichael Perine started to get a little bit more involved this past week. But, yeah, you're picking him up for a dollar maybe and hoping things break right. But you're, at the end of the day, you're hoping you don't get in a situation where you have to rely on LaMichael Perine in your starting lineup. Oh,
you are far more optimistic than I am, my friend. But moving on, we're talking about guys with optimistic things that are happening, like target share, like touchdowns, hell, even rushing touchdowns. Tell me why you got to give some Trey Burton love, because we talked about him on the DFS episode. Let's double down here, dude. Why should people be picking up Trey Burton?
He's the new goal line back in Indianapolis.
Oh, no, that
he's
hurt.
Not. He's not. I have no concerns about Jonathan Taylor, but that's for another day. But yeah, like, we already saw his routes. He was running since he's come off the IR. He's led the Colts tight ends in routes and snaps. Mo Alie-Cox was out last week, but it's not like he runs a ton of routes anyway. You know, Burton's playing over Doyle right now. He scored twice. We know Philip Rivers loves throwing to his tight ends. I think four of his seven touchdown passes this year have gone to tight ends. Yeah, he has four, which two to Mo Alie-Cox, one to Doyle, and one to Burton yesterday. So that's a huge part of what they do down there. T.Y. Hilton has not been a thing at all this year, and they're still banged up at receiver with Paris Campbell and Michael Pittman. So it's like the tight ends have to kind of be a huge part of this offense right now. So I think Trey Burton, like, among all the players we've talked about, is legitimately one of the players that, like, is a must add. Like, you can, I don't think you have to add Anthony Firkser, because we don't know if John is going to be out. Same with Richard Rodgers. Like, he's not a must-add for me. But, like, Trey Burton is a must-add if you, like I said, if you don't have those six tight ends that you feel great about each week. You know, Kittle, Andrews, Kelsey, Waller, Jonnu when healthy, and Hunter Henry. I think those are the six tight ends where you feel pretty good each week. And then the rest is just like, is Hayden Hurst going to score this week? Is Mike Gesicki going to score or play this week? You know, that'd be kind of cool too. So, players like that.
I mean, dude, just the microcosm that is the year 2020, post-hype Trey Burton as a must-add, I don't disagree with you at all. I'm here for it. I think that,
yeah,
one, his role in this offense, and two, the way that they want to offensively scheme things, especially in the red zone, I absolutely agree
also,
with you.
Also, while I was breaking down those tight ends, notice how I didn't say Evan Ingram. What the hell are the Giants doing with him?
Oh my gosh! You're reading my mind here, because I'm sitting here thinking back to DFS last week, and I'm like, ooh, Trey Burton. Ooh, Evan Ingram. And I have no clue. I have zero clue what the absolute hell Jason Garrett is doing. Like, they go from passing at one of the highest rates in the NFL in neutral script and the red zone and everything, and then last week they're just like, we're just going to run the ball and try to get the W, baby. Like, come on, man. Like,
Daniel Jones
is
also really bad. He had threw for like 112 yards on 20 pass attempts. It's a really
bad.
Yeah,
but they ran the ball almost as much as they even freaking passed the ball with the dust that is known as Devontae Freeman. Yeah. Like, it was terrible. Like, that's not how you attack the Washington football team. You attack them with tight ends. Like, you don't run into the teeth of that defensive line, but I guess if you're Jason Garrett and you can clap and you can run straight up the middle for damn near 3 yards a carry, you gotta do it, right?
It's bad football teams.
Bad's gonna stay bad, man. But all right, moving on to good things. So if you're listening to this episode and you've already seen the explosion game from Christian Kirk, I apologize, but stay with me here. Christian Kirk is a guy that you gotta, we've talked about him previously, gotta mention him again, because apparently he's only rostered in 39% of Yahoo leagues. This needs to be fixed. People have got to pick up Christian Kirk. Like, if you look at not only Dallas, Seattle, Miami, Buffalo, and he's not going to see Tre'Davious White. He's going to see the ghost that is Josh Norman and Seattle again. Christian Kirk is going to be an integral cog in this passing offense on a team that wants to run a crap ton of plays weekly. We have seen Christian Kirk. He has the ability. One, he's not going to draw top coverage. Two, these are all really good matchups for the wide receiver position. Now, if you want to talk about like how the Dolphins are playing better, their corners are getting a little bit healthier, sure, I get that. The other three matchups are awesome. So what are you looking at, man? Christian Kirk is a guy that I will have no problem in many weeks moving forward, considering the matchups on his schedule. You're probably going to go to ftnfantasy.com, stare over at my rankings if you're a sub, which you should be, and find Christian Kirk. If he's not inside the top 24 wide receivers, he's going to be really close to it. Thoughts on Kirk before you bring up your last wide receiver here, Adam?
Yeah, 100% on board. I'm expecting a really nice game from Kirk Monday night against Dallas, and the matchups are just really good. And he's their downfield guy. Like, when they take shots down the field, it's with Christian Kirk. So there's still upside there. Even if he's only getting 6-7 targets, like, that's enough for him. You know, you'd like to see Kyler Murray a little bit better passing the football, but I'm not worried.
Yeah, I love him moving forward, and I'm really interested to hear your take on this next guy, because, look, the production has been there, the target share is going to be there, the matchups don't look too great, but I think we got to give some love to this guy. Who is the next guy that you're going to bring up here?
Tim Patrick. I know Denver has been a little bit banged up with KJ Hamler and Noah Fant, and obviously Cortland Sutton's out for the year, but Sutton isn't coming back. Hamler is going to be not somebody they just, you know, target a ton when he's on the field. Fant will be, I think, when he's back, the one in this offense. You know, Drew Lock had a nice connection with him before Lock got hurt. But Tim Patrick now has two straight games with 100 yards, three straight games with either a touchdown or 100 yards. He scored in two of his last three. He's, you know, seeing, seven, eight targets the last two games. It's just plenty of opportunity. I know the matchups aren't great, but he's produced. He's been getting red zone targets. And other than, you know, Fant and Jerry Jeudy, I mean, Patrick's probably the next guy up. You can make the case he's ahead of Jeudy, actually. So, you know, it's not a really crowded offense in terms of targets. And he's been good, man. Whenever he's gotten the opportunity, he's been pretty productive. He made some plays last year when Emmanuel Sanders was traded. And they still have a hole in that offense without Cortland Sutton, so.
Yeah, man, I think it's a good call. I mean, look, we're going to get to bye weeks, and you're going to look for guys that it not only becomes about matchups, it becomes about volume, and guys that could see 7 to 10 targets weekly. I'm not telling you that this Broncos offense is sexy, but we do know one thing, and that's that Shermer wants to throw the ball, and that Tim Patrick right now, he's playing that Cortland Sutton role. Like, he's playing the role of a guy that Locke is just going to throw it up there and have him go get the ball and high point it, man. So I like the call.
Yeah, like you said, it's not sexy, but it's a guy playing all the snaps, running a ton of routes, and producing. I mean, 100 yards against New England, not exactly, especially how gross that game was. I mean, not exactly the worst performance in the world.
Absolutely, man. So, all right, so if everybody has not already downloaded the recap episode, Adam walked through every single game, giving you his high-level takes. That is something you need to look out for on a weekly basis. Going to drop usually on Sunday nights. We had some technical difficulties, like I was talking about. Without electricity and internet, it's hard to drop episodes. So Adam and I are going to be back later this week, giving you our trade for our four players. We're going to be trading for and away off of our rosters and getting them onto our rosters, as well as the DFS episodes later this week. So you need to head over to ftnfantasy.com. If you are not subscribed, if you are not signed up, you have got to be getting in on all of the amazing content. Adam just dropped his fantasy stock market article today. So with the recap episode and you're reading this, It helps you so much walking into week 7. So get signed up today at FTNFantasy.com. Use promo codes DBRO or Pfeiffer, P-F-E-I-F-E-R, to save 10% on your sign-up. So for Fade the Chalk, we're out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.